that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Then he now went from verse 23. He began to talk about how to handle offense with your brother. That even though you think you are right, listen, the Pharisees is that you are angry with him, just don't kill him. Are you getting my point? Once you don't kill him, you're fine. I'm not talking to you. You're okay. I won't help you when you are in need. You're okay. As long as I don't kill you. Jesus said, I'm sorry. If you are angry with him, what that guy did to me, only God can judge. He said, that is enough to drive away the presence of God from your life. He said, so when you want to give your offering, think of your brother that you're angry with and go and reconcile to him first. Leave the offering there. And listen, he was giving practical things. He said, this is righteousness that surpasses. It is not just about, I won't kill you. It is that it is important to me that there is no separation between me and my brother. So that is the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. Then he goes ahead to verse 27. He said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, this is the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. I said that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Therefore, God cannot dwell inside the heart that commits adultery, even though the body does not. You get what I say? That is, the righteousness of Christ is not that I did not commit adultery. It is that, like Job, I say, I have made a covenant with my eyes. So I don't even look with lust at another woman. Nobody is discussing, did I or I did not. The issue is that the very thought, the desire of it, God says, guilty as charged. You know, the problem with a lot of Christians, and I need to say this, they are so concerned. People say that, you mean if I think that kind of thought, I will go to hell? No, that's not the issue. It is that heaven cannot come to earth through you. That's the issue. You are not going to hell. Because if it is what you are thinking about, listen, even me, as I'm looking at you like this, I just go and die and go to hell now. Let me just go to this hell. Because there's no hope for heaven. I read through the letters of Paul again. I meditated. I discovered that Paul made it clear that if you're a Christian, your chances of going to this hell is extremely slim. And that's not what we're talking about. And that's a lot of Christians realize that they're like, ah, no, no. You mean, so I heard a man preach that it's very easy to go to hell. It's very easy to go to hell. It's very easy to go to hell. He was preaching with fire. He said, if I heard another man preaching, he said, one woman has been a good Christian all her life. All her life has been a good Christian. Then one day she went to the market, and then somebody annoyed her, and she fought in the market. After fighting the market, she tried to cross the road. A car knocked her down, and she died. Do you know what happened? She went to hell. There's a lie. What happened? She went to heaven on time for fighting. Please, for emphasis, that was not supposed to be a joke. I meant it, she went to heaven. See, but she fought in the market. Did they say all fighters shall find their portion? No, listen. She's a child of God, she's not a fighter. She did that which is wrong, quite all right. But God doesn't send people to hell because of everything that you do that is wrong. We're not discussing that now, but get it clear. Once I went to preach somewhere, somebody was saying, the pastor who invited me was trying to emphasize the fact that Christians should be careful so they don't go to hell. That one man saw vision. I'm not saying it's a lie. That 90% of people, either 90 or 99% are going to hell, of those who go to, or Christians. I went there to pray. I was the guest minister. I wanted to preach. I titled my message, Assurance of Heaven. That was the title of my message. Assurance of Heaven. And I said simply that, listen, did the man who see the vision, did he see true vision? I suspect he did. But what you don't realize is that what he called Christians are those who go to church. What they were just saying, all this Sunday, all these people that you see trooping out of church, the whole street is full. Some of them, everybody dressing very nice, they are coming from church. He said, 90% are going to hell. I believe that. So Pastor Manke, how can you believe it? Because a lot of people go to church, they have never given their lives to Christ. They are Christians by birth. And Christianity is something that cannot be inherited. Even though if you are a preacher, all your children must consciously accept Jesus Christ. There are people who preach. I'm not joking. They went to Bible school, got degrees, they are pastoring churches. They are going to hell. You know why? They are not true Christians. It's a profession. Yeah, I'm not kidding about that. But for true Christians, that proportion is wrong. That 90% is a lie. If you count those who indeed, they accepted Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, that proportion is less than 0.01%. Not kidding. That's what the scriptures teach. One man even collected his father's wife, and Paul was angry. Paul said, so that I can send him to heaven, I will give him to Satan. That's what Satan said. Paul said, you know what we're going to do? We are going to give him to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. What is our purpose? That his spirit might be saved. So let's get it clear. You're not going to hell. People say, if you say like that, Christians will start committing sin. Listen to me. If I say that and you start committing sin, it is proof to you, you never gave your life to Christ. Because you can't say, Pastor Baki, don't worry, nobody is looking. Don't worry, nobody will see you. And I go on the road, and I start packing grass. They are not seeing me. I chew amaranthos. I won't do that. Why? I'm not a goat. I'm not refusing to eat grass by the roadside because you are watching. Anything I can't do, do you understand? Because somebody will see me, I must never do. So, I'm going to emphasize something to you. If I said this, you now go and say, now I can sing. Where are the babes? It is clear you are going to hell. Not because of that. You are. I mean, you are going there very fast. The reason is because you have just proved that you don't have the life of God in you. Do you understand my point? So let's settle that one. The Lord is good. I hope you are putting on a nice day. I like to take it all the time. So, if you have given your life to Christ, you are sure that one day you say, God, I want to serve you. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sin. If you are like that and you are here this evening, give me an amen.
Amen.
Hear you the word of God. You are not going to hell.
Amen.
Paul said, he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am persuaded of better things concerning you. Let's get that clear. Back to our message. So here, what was he saying? That if I have a heart, I'm back to it, that commits adultery. He said, I didn't touch you. But God said, that's your heart. That is the holy of holies. In your body. I can't dwell there because it is polluted. That's the emphasis. That the very thought, the thinking process that does not do because I'm not allowed, they might catch me, but deep inside the heart wants to do, is a heart that God cannot dwell in. So the man who does not physically commit adultery, but commits adultery in his heart, Satan still dwells inside his home, and he and his wife, they're having problems. And sometimes you will look and say, these problems are the problems of people that commit adultery. And the woman swears, my husband has never done it. You tell the man, swear, he swears he has never done it. He said, but you are having problems of people that commit adultery. And God said, for Christians, That is called the absence of the kingdom of God. And this is where it's coming from. I cannot dwell inside that heart. I can't dwell inside that home. No, I'm talking about the purification of the spirit. That is actually what Jesus was teaching them. Then he kept on saying, another example, verse 31. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. Then elsewhere here he said, I'm just adding to what he said elsewhere about this, that in the beginning it was not so. He that made them male and female, for this cause shall a man leave his father and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And whatever God has so joined together, let no one put asunder. So that is the standard of the kingdom. The standard of the kingdom is not, well, I follow the due process. She has annoyed me so much. Paul said, the standard of the kingdom, if she has annoyed you so badly, two of you can't live together, fine, separate, but please, two of you will remain single until you reconcile to yourselves. This is righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. I just need to add this one. If you read in verse 43, in verse 38, he said, another one, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other also. In summary, he was saying, do not take vengeance according to that which has been done to you. That is righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. The Pharisees obey verse 43. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But this is the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. You shall love your enemies. You shall pray for them who persecute you, so that you may be sons, remember, sons of your Father who is in heaven. Let me stop here. Because of time, we'll continue developing this one next time. There's another one, we didn't get to it. John was speaking about it. Look at this mother thing. He said, you cannot hate your brother in your heart. You understand what I'm saying? This is where I'm going all of these things. God looks beyond what you do as a Christian. He starts from how your heart is operating. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That the standard of the life of a believer is not counted, first of all, outwardly. The Pharisees counted them outwardly. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an inward work that is primary. It is an inward work. So that for us, when you're talking about defilement of the spirit, that is, you're talking about you must not murder somebody. Jesus said, no. If you hate somebody, you're already a murderer. And I'm saying, if we do not purify our hearts, our thinking processes, listen to this, our motivations in life, then God cannot dwell in our hearts. He can't dwell in our lives. We cannot experience that kingdom of God. I said I was going to tell a story, remember? Let me just tell a story and end with it to tell you how it is that we're talking about the presence of God in your life. I've told this story here at least twice. It's in the book, Mover of Men and Mountains, the story of R.J. Lotonneau. R.J. Lotonneau was a man who invented earth-moving machines. He used to call himself a self-taught engineer. The reason being that he had very little formal education, but he became an excellent mechanical engineer. He was an excellent one, all right? When you talk about before him, construction was difficult, like clearing mountains, making roads, and all of that. He was the one that revolutionized that aspect of life. But I've told this story a number of times. Once he bid for a job, he went into partnership with a brother in his church, and the job did badly. They managed at the end of the day to break even. But during the construction, while the job was going on, he used to employ his relatives. And you know, a lot of us don't employ relatives because Archbishop Idahosa said, don't employ whosoever you cannot fire. He said, never hire the person you cannot fire. If you're going to fire somebody, they'll call village meeting on your head. Archbishop says, don't hire the person. But his own reasoning was different. His own reasoning is that my brothers, my cousins, my in-laws, they are so close to me that they understand every financial difficulty. So if I don't pay them on time, they understand that it's not because I'm wicked, it's because there's no money. And they'll be patient to wait. So he used to employ a lot of his close people. But that his partner said it is because of those people that he employed that their business is not doing well. So he removed them. He said, okay. He says, because I'm using my relatives, fine. So he sacked all his relatives. Well, he removed them from that job. And God gave him another job at the same time. So he sent them. This was a personal one now, not a partnership one. So he sent the people to go and be working. They went to be working on the other job. Let me make a long story short. The other job did well. He made some money. This other one, they just managed to break even. Then one day he was in church or somewhere. The brother came to him and said, I heard you made a lot of money on the other job you were doing. The guy said, I thank God. He said, I want you to know that half of that money is mine. So he said, how is it yours? You removed our staff and used them to do the work. Therefore, the money is ours. The guy thought he was dreaming. Like, are you okay? You told me to remove those people because you said they are the reason why we're not making money. I removed them, we hired other people. So essentially, we laid them off. I had to find them another job. The man said, he doesn't care. So the Tenno said, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you a dime because you don't deserve it. The guy said, in that case, we are going to go to court. So Lotino said to him, good, sue, I'll see you in court. Except that as soon as he turned, the Holy Spirit said, give him the money. When I read that portion, even me, I called Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, let's discuss that. Let's discuss that instruction. That unfair instruction you gave that brother many years ago, not today. That thing must have been like 1940-something or 1930-something. Somewhere between 30-something and 50-something. That was when that incident happened. And I read this book just about 3 years ago here. I was upset. Oh, my Father in heaven. You know how you are feeling there too. You are angry. Please join me in this anger. He said, the Holy Spirit said to him, give him the money. Now, really, I understand. I said, we'll keep on learning. I understand. Now, I will give him the money too. But 4 years ago, I wasn't giving anybody any money. But this is the point. The Holy Spirit said to Lutero, give him the money. And he was like, what? A number of scriptures. Number one, you're going to go to court. And Paul said, that's not right. So he just called the brothers. All right, fine. He showed him the papers. Showed him. All right. This is how much money we made. How much of it do you want? The guy told him. He wrote him a check. Bye-bye. Except your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees. That was another level of righteousness. It was like anyone who takes your coat, give him your shirt also. A lot of times you're always rising up to defend yourself is why God hasn't defended you. All this one is my right. Many times, that's why God has not answered us. I won't talk to that brother again. What he did to me is very, very bad. I'm not angry with him, but better let's just go our separate ways. You're in the same office. When matters come up, you don't tell him. Because you're not talking to him. You're not angry. You just like to rather keep things separate. You understand what I'm saying? That is the reason why the promotion you are looking for, you are having to fight for it, and God is not fighting for you. Because he says that your righteousness is not surpassing that of the Pharisees. Ajelotuno said, he gave that guy the money, and that guy, of course, foolish brother that he was, he collected it. Just by the way, there are certain kinds of money they give you, you should reject. Because at the end of 2 years, he was totally wiped out of business. 2 years later, he did not exist again in that business. 2 years. But why was I reading the story of R.J. Lotono? Because the man waxed greater and became exceedingly great. And the Philistines envied him.
Do you understand my point?
The man became rich. That's some years ago now. That's quite some time ago. I'm sure I can't remember the exact number of years, but quite some time ago. He sold his company as a 70-something-year-old man. He sold his company to, I think, Caterpillar. And they bought it for close to $100 million. I can't remember the exact amount. But for that time, that was huge money. If it's today he's selling, probably will be selling in billions. And he was such a good engineer, they had to sign an agreement, what they call a non-compete agreement, that he would not design any other engine for the next 5 years. The old man was that good. Do you know how he used to design engines? He said one day he went to church. He was very active in his church. And he got back home. He was tired. Late at night, he laid down to sleep around past 11. Then suddenly he got up. Why? A design of a new engine just dropped in his head. He ran to his study. Quickly took paper and began to sketch. Worked that for a few hours, then went back to sleep. Next day, got to work, called his own trained engineers, and said, that is the next engine we are building. You guys put it into proper drawings. Those men will gather and take weeks to decode what this man scribbled in a few hours by inspiration. That is, God was dwelling in that man's business. But for God to dwell in his business, did you see the amount of things that he went to? This one that you're always rushing to court, rush to police. It's why your business is not going fast. The DPO knows you already. You drag everybody, Christian or Muslim, that crosses you. They are going to sell. Ooh, the Lord is good. Listen, sometimes, go and listen to my message, title, Take That Loss. Sometimes as a Christian, let me tell something here. Oh God. Let me preach, I beg. Nobody this time won't control me. Sometimes as a Christian, you must realize what money is. Money is a tool. Do you understand my point? It's just a tool. What really matters in your life is a spiritual substance. That is what you should fight for. Don't ever worry about loss of money. What you should fight for is a spiritual substance, which the Bible says is stored in heaven. Listen, assuming the spiritual substance gave you, to illustrate, gave you 10 million naira. And as soon as the thing is giving you, thieves come, they collect the 10 million naira and walk away. Smile. Do you know why? You have not lost a naira, not one. That spiritual substance, the Bible says, is stored in heaven. Thieves cannot break in and steal it. Anything that 10 million naira was supposed to do for you, you will still get it. Let me tell you something in life. Don't make your decisions because of money. Run up and down like the devil because of money. When we understand that, it's easy to take a loss. Go and listen to my message. Take that loss. Every temporal loss makes for an eternal gain. Listen, you know, many things I look at, we have magnified the devil too much. See this Satan? We make him bigger than he really is. Many of the things in life we call the devil is not the devil, it is God. The Bible said it came about that God tempted Abraham, not the devil. God said to Abraham, listen to me. Now you will take your son and go and sacrifice him. Some people have been sent by God to go and cheat you. Better decode that. God sent them, say, that my brother, that my son, that my daughter, go and cheat him, go and cheat her. Let me see how she will respond. They come to church, and the devil came. God said, it's not the devil, me. I tempted Abraham. I told him, sacrifice your son. All I have told you to sacrifice is 10,000 naira. You've gone to call police. Say, they know me in that market, and not they take nonsense. That's why your shop has not changed size. No dimensional change. Last 7 years. The same dimension because you don't take nonsense. God said, until you are ready to take nonsense, you will move forward. When they go to work, let everybody rubbish you. Let them spit on you. Let them thief your thing. If you see a thief going away, don't chase him. Then I know you are ready to break away from that cubicle that you have been calling your own. Let's go home. The Lord is good. Listen, let me tell you the truth. I'm not here to come and shout, breakthrough by force. If you don't do the word of God, break down. But if you obey this truth, it shall come to pass that one day you will look back and say, who has begotten me all this wealth? Just raise your hand and worship the Lord because he's good.